From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big one tonight at Bank of America Stadium as the Carolina Panthers open up the home schedule on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints. We will ignore the fact that the NFL stuck another game on the same night, which is bogus because the entire world should be able to watch Bryce Young without interference. So for that, let's talk to Jim Zocchi, part of the Panthers radio super friends. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. We'll also talk ECU and their trip to Boone. But let's start with tonight. Mr. Zocchi, how you doing?
Adam, doing well. Hope you are.
I am doing well. I'm looking forward to tonight, especially as it looks like DJ Chark is going to get back into the mix. Other than the obvious, he provides potential big plays. What is the ultimate impact, you think, of his insertion into the lineup?
I think, you know, having that threat, which is the biggest threat they have in that category, is it opens everything else up. It helps with the running game. It helps with the short and intermediate passing game as well. They only attempted two passes over 20 yards in the game against Atlanta, both incomplete passes. So I think having him out there, it has to put that in the back of the mind. It's been well talked about that Jesse Bates felt like he could creep up, not play very deep. They single high safety for that game. So this way, you know, they have to at least have in the back of their head that deep ball possibility exists for the Panthers in this game.
Yeah, and if you want to be a ground and pound team, which I really do think they want to be, you have to get that eighth guy out of the box. And if you don't have big playability, as you just said, it's just too easy to stack the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think, you know, running it, I think, you know, things like passing to Hayden Hurst, which they were pretty successful at, although the one was picked off by Bates, but, you know, five catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. I think they like throwing to the tight end, get the running game going, do a lot of the shorter stuff. But you have that as your bread and butter. You do have to have the threat that you were talking about to be able to loosen things up a bit.
Jim Zocchi is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. What did you see? We talked to Jake Delhomme on Friday. What did you see from Bryce Young in game one?
Just a guy that was really composed and didn't look like he was playing his first NFL regular season game. And I get Atlanta's 2-0, but when I looked at Desmond Ridder out there and I looked at Bryce Young, if you had walked in, I don't think you would have known that Bryce was the guy playing his first game. Ridder played four games as a starter last year, so he's got a little bit more experience. But I think Bryce just it looks like he's ready to be an NFL quarterback. It's going to take a little bit of time to get to where he needs to go overall, but he obviously processes things well. He's smart. He's athletic. I think even on the incompletion with Domingo, we saw he's got a big enough arm. So I think he's got all the tools are there. It's just a matter of getting those regular season game reps. So I think he'll be fine.
Jim Zocchi is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. It is a 7:15 kickoff at Bank of America Stadium. So if you're listening in Raleigh, as we are the Carolina Panthers affiliate here, 6 o'clock. For an airtime on the Panthers radio network. Running the football is going to be their staple. I mean, other than the fumble, I thought we saw good things out of Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, Chuba, I was going to mention, too, 9 carries, 60 yards. And, yeah, that's huge if you have a 1-2 punch like that because Sanders is good, but the season's so long and you don't want to wear him down. But he had 18 carries in that first game and 72 yards, and he had 4 catches, so 22 touches of the football. So yeah, you want to have your backs not, you know, getting worn down in the second half of the season. So if Chuba can run the ball like that, if the offensive line can hold up, obviously you're down to your two starting guards are out, one for the season, one for at least a few more weeks. You know, they'll be good, and they have depth, I think, that'll be able to survive some of this. But, you know, hopefully when Austin Corbett gets back, especially, he's such a big road grader out there. You'd love to have him back as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, two injuries in the middle of the Panthers offensive line, Corbett and now Brady Christensen. Cade Mays will start. Chandler Zavala starting at the other guard. And then the injury to J.C. Horn. And I know that J.C. is like, he is tired of having seasons derailed. What's the feeling about how long this might be?
Yeah, I think, you know, they called it significant, so it's got to be 4 minimum, obviously, at this point. But we'll see. It's almost impossible to forecast with that kind of thing, so they had a procedure done on the hamstring of some sort. So they don't have to tell you beyond 4 weeks, and if they do know the answer, they're not sharing that. But I think we got prepared for the fact that it could be longer than that. So luckily, in camp, they signed a veteran in Troy Hill, and it's an opportunity once again for C.J. Henderson to show what he can do. This is that contract year for him, so those guys are going to have to step up. But you know, Troy Hill's been around the league for a while, and that's why he was brought in with his familiarity with the coaching staff.
Do you get the sense that this is a bigger game than a normal Week 2 game tonight?
I think for those of you who host sports talk shows and produce sports talk shows, it is a very, very big game because the sky will be literally falling if they don't win tonight.
Right.
If they're 0-2 and the rest of the division is 2-0, even though the math is that there's 15 more games to go, everyone will think the season is over. But, yeah, it's a big game. I think, you know, division games, they truly do count, too. You can put a loss on another team while giving yourself a win. So it does have a double impact, at least. So, yeah, it'd be great to not lose and to win. But at the same point, you have to kind of...
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Protesters and supporters alike are lined up outside the United States Supreme Court this afternoon as a decision in the most hotly debated case in years is set to be delivered.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case, Roe v. Wade.
Sir, I graduated the top quarter of my class.
We just don't have a spot for you.
Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
My chief qualification being, I'm uncontroversial.
You know how we both ended up on the Supreme Court?
Politics.
Damn right.
This may be the longest of shots, but it's also the last chance for a lot of women.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
I'm trying to get you to stand for something, man. Now go to it.
Listen to Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do two things at once. You're trying to win while also doing things in the right order, which is getting your quarterback up to speed and doing the things that have to happen. So I think it would not be anything that would be like the season's over at 0-2 with so many games to go, but you definitely would like to win it. But on the other hand, in a lot of ways, they all do just count one seventeenth all the way through because you just count them up at the end.
In a practical sense, I normally agree, right? But everybody being 2-0 in the division, and I think Tampa certainly winning the game at Minnesota was a surprise, and maybe Atlanta backing up last week with a come-from-behind win over Green Bay is a bit of a surprise based on how that game was going for roughly three quarters. I don't think anybody in the division is going to run away, so maybe it's not as important because of that. But I just think you don't want to go 0-2 in the division and you don't want one of those to be at home. So I'm not sky is falling, but it just makes it so much more difficult if you lose the second game. Let me talk to Jim Zocchi that now. Put your East Carolina Pirates radio voice hat on. It's funny. We're listening to a lot of that on the radio, and all the commercials end with "arg." It's hysterical.
We always laugh on Panther games. All the commercials begin with "Hey Panther fans." So instead of "Hey Panther fans," I have the ending of every ECU spot going "arg."
And many
of them, of course, have the school marching band behind.
Hey, look, I'm a big marching band's a part of college football for me. All right, so kind of a mixed bag. I thought there was a lot of good. Two big defensive plays and a new quarterback angle to start with Alex Flynn coming in for Mason Garcia, but it got away late. What was your overall read of what the Pirates did up in Boone?
Just overall, it's been a challenging three-game schedule. So obviously, yes. You go to number two Michigan. Everyone knows going to Appalachian State in particular is difficult on any given year. And that was a good Marshall team that came into Greenville. They were a 9-win team last year with a ton of talent back, including Rasheen Ali, their great running back. So, again, not exonerating all of that, but the schedule has been difficult for three games for sure. And doing this with basically, I think that the stat is at least 80, maybe 90% of the key offensive players not back, and most of those onto NFL, at least practice squads. So you knew there was going to be some time needed to take kids that they think are talented and get them game reps. And those can only happen in games. And here they are, I think, getting better in each of the three games. We've seen improvement with this team. As you mentioned, the defense, two scores, and the offense, at least in the passing game, had more pop, which for them also opened up the running game. And by running game, the traditional running back running game, not the quarterback running the ball. So I think there were things that were good on the road against App State to be up 21-10 and to have the lead into the third quarter. There were some good things there, but it's just a matter of putting it all together and getting some wins going.
Yeah, I think you brought up a point. I mentioned this earlier. I mean, who scheduled this at the start of the season at Michigan? Marshall is good. Marshall's very good. And pretty much everybody in the Sun Belt is good. I'm not saying stay away from the Sun Belt because you don't want to shy away from anybody, but it would have been nice to play some, kind of a patsy just to get everybody feeling good about themselves. But I do think there are some signs. And also, they're in a different place in their rebuild than App is right now because App's, I know they were 6-6 last year, but they did go to Texas A&M and win. And they look fully operational at this point, even though they're using a backup quarterback. What was it like at Kid Brewer Stadium?
It was great. I mean, I love the fact, and I'm sure you guys do as well, the regional atmosphere of a game like that. ECU had not played in Boone since 1979, but it's a series that goes back over 90 years, and they're in the midst of this four-game series right now, so they'll have a game in Greenville next year. But it tied the record, which is the maximum they're allowed to put into Kid Brewer. It's over 40,000, I think 40,100. So they brought in the temporary seating, and they did as much as they could there. And it's been obviously sold out for months and months. So it was great. It was fun. And there was a good amount of ECU fans there in addition to the fact that it was App State. But to me, just good, fun, friendly rivalry. The weather was really good the first part of the day. Didn't rain until the second half. So I thought it was a great atmosphere. And just for that size football, about as good as it gets.
I agree. And I love these games. I know Mac Brown talked about these games are great for the state. I know he was talking about UNC versus App. Just like State versus ECU, these are big games, and Carolina versus ECU are big games for the state. And then, of course, they won't play them because they're afraid of losing, which, whatever, I criticize that. But, yeah, it was a great setting, and it was, and you put a scare into them as well. You made App work for it, and that's good. I hope the Panthers do well tonight. Give me your sense on what you expect from them in terms of a game plan, and then we'll let Jim Zocchi go.
I think, first of all, offensively, I do think they're going to open it up more in this game. I think they need to show that. They'll probably show it early just to put that in the back of the minds of the Saints defense. It's a good defense, obviously. They get after it. And then I think, defensively, New Orleans without Alvin Kamara is not that scary in the running game, but they did play a great Tennessee run defense last week. So if they can contain Jamal Williams at all, you can somewhat make New Orleans one-dimensional. But again, you don't have J.C. Horn. They've got great receivers in Olave in particular. Yep. Michael Thomas is back and healthy for the first time in a long time, gives that big body target in there. And Rashid Shaheed is another one, doesn't get his due. So you've got to be ready, I think, for the pass game in particular tonight. I think Derek Carr is one of the underrated quarterbacks in the league. And People kind of knock on him, but he was a 4,000-yard passer 2 years ago. So if they can stop the run game, which they should be able to do, not get burned for any, you know, big plays, you know, the big chunks of the touchdowns that come on quick drives, the Panthers have a chance to pull this thing out at home. And but let Bryce, let him do, let him eat, like they say, and let him do what he likes to do, what he did at Alabama.
Like I love Bryce Young. I think you and I saw the game the same way. Looked poised. The two interceptions are not what you want to see, but I thought everything else that we saw from Bryce Young looked like a guy that the game was not moving too fast for him. And if it was, he faked it really well. Jim Zocchi of the Panthers Radio Network and the voice of ECU, thank you very much for your time, man. Have a good one tonight. We'll be listening.
Thank you, Adam.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.